2 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to be looking at this entire chapter tonight, although I will be brief with you about it. I won't take very long to go through it. We're continuing tonight, and we'll finish out the lesson we started last week concerning striving together in the area of giving. The blessing of giving is what we're going to talk about tonight, and the theme was living generously, or generous living, or generous giving. And we were in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 last week, and we move into chapter 9 tonight to finish out the lesson here, and we're really going to consider the blessing that giving is, not just to ourselves or to others, but also to ourselves, and also the blessing that it is to God. God gets glory out of it, and something we ought to strive together for. We'll not read the whole chapter right now, but let me just give you an overview of it. Paul is continuing in this matter of stirring up the Corinthian church to fulfill what they had promised in financial assistance to the church in Jerusalem, or even churches of Judea, really. And he further touches in chapter 9 on the true spirit of giving and then God's blessing that comes with it afterwards. And in chapter 8, what we discussed were some principles concerning giving, giving by grace, or the grace of God in it. But now, Paul shares some of the promises that we can expect or that we can claim if we are faithful in our giving to the Lord. By the way, before I forget, it's good to have Morgan and the kids here with us tonight. I was sitting up here just before the song service started, and I looked back, and I was like, is that Morgan? Like, my eyes are not good. Is that Morgan? And Jordan's like, yep, that's Morgan. So good to see you. And first thing, I walked up to those kiddos there, and it's like, man, I haven't seen you forever. And Lewis is like, I'm like, Lewis, where's your teeth? And he's like, I punched him out. I'm like, did you really knock him out? He didn't. But it's good to see you. Glad you're here, Morgan. Always good to see your good friends, and we miss you guys. Okay, back to where we're at. In chapter 9, again here, Paul is talking about the promises that we can claim if we are faithful to the Lord. So these two chapters, chapter 8 and chapter 9, talk about giving as a grace. It's God gives grace to do it. And then the blessing that comes with it, and that it's not some sort of legal obligation or something that is should be a burden to God's people, but actually something that should be a blessing to God's people. And if giving faithfully is difficult for a Christian, then there's something wrong in the heart. God is a giver, and God expects us to follow after His own heart. And we're going to note three things tonight here that Paul gives regarding giving. First of all, that giving will bring blessings to others. Secondly, giving will bring blessings to ourselves. And then thirdly, God will be glorified in our giving. Giving will glorify God or bless the Lord. And so those are the three things that we'll consider tonight briefly in this passage. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless His word. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word, and thank You for these principles and also the promises that go along with them. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to give You glory in our life. And as You, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul said that You love a cheerful giver. And as Paul encouraged the Corinthians to abound unto every good work in their life, giving was a part of that, and it's part of our service to the Lord. It's part of being like Jesus Christ, who Himself gave His own life. And Lord, I pray that You just encourage us tonight with these thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, consider with me, giving will bring blessings to others. And we find in the first five verses here this thought in verse 1, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. In verse 1 here, Paul says, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, referring to where he left off in chapter 8, if you will. Paul continued in this thought, as touching the ministering of the saints. He admitted here that it wasn't even necessary for him to write more about this, the ministering of the saints. And of course, that refers to this special offering that he was raising for the churches of Jerusalem, or the church of Jerusalem and the impoverished saints. In verse 2, he says, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Paul is continuing to gently prod the Corinthian church here to do what they said they would do a year ago. He says, you were ready a year before. And he complimented them on their initial willingness because he said, I know the forwardness of your mind. That's what the word forwardness means. It means their willingness to give. And so he compliments them on that. And he, in fact, had boasted to the churches of Macedonia about their enthusiasm in this matter. Notice how he says here in verse 2 that your zeal hath provoked very many. And so what he's doing is saying, hey, you had a testimony already. Your willingness to give in this was something that encouraged or provoked others. And that was a tremendous testimony that they initially had. And I stopped there just for a second because it reminds me that we also ought to be a blessing and we ought to provoke one another as well. Unfortunately, some Christians provoke people in the wrong way. But Hebrews 10:24 says and urges us to provoke one another unto love and to good works. And that's what the Corinthians had done. Their zeal had provoked others to love and to good works. And Paul had told the Macedonian churches of the Corinthians' eagerness to take up this special offering. Their eagerness had stirred the churches of Macedonia to do the same. The problem in it all was that in the meantime, even though the Corinthians were ready and eager, something happened along the way. Time happened, life happened. They hadn't yet followed through on their original intention. And so Paul is encouraging them. This could be damaging. This could be discouraging. This could hurt the whole thing. And so Paul says, I'm going to send Titus, a trusted messenger from other churches, to Corinth. Notice what he says in verse 3. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. What he's saying here is that he had boasted about their giving. They hadn't come through with that yet. And so he's sending the brethren ahead, it turns out to be Titus, lest his boasting of them should be in vain. And if he arrived and those of Macedonia came with him and we found you unprepared, that's going to be really embarrassing, he says. All of that boasting of the Corinthians' enthusiasm, and then it falls through, that's going to be embarrassing. So then he gets to verse 5. Therefore, because of all of that, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. So here's really the crux of all of that. He said, because of all of these things, I thought it necessary to send the brethren down, this party ahead, to avoid that kind of embarrassment. Now, I said that the point here is that giving is a blessing to others. That's highlighted here in verse 5, where Paul called this offering a bounty. The word bounty there literally means a blessing. He wanted them to look upon it as an opportunity to be a blessing and not as some sort of obligation or yoke around their neck. And how often people misunderstand the true blessing of giving. People want to hoard. They want to keep it for themselves, fear of losing something. But giving actually becomes a blessing to everyone. Notice that it's a blessing to those who receive. In verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. It's a blessing to those who receive it because it supplied their need. It's a blessing to God because he says it's abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But it's also a blessing to those who share it. In verse 10, he says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your own seed or your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And then he says in verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. So he says it's a blessing to those who receive it, but it's also a blessing to you because what comes with it is abounding fruit in righteousness, and you are actually enriching your own life, he says. And the application is this: when a Christian is faithful in giving, he or she is being a blessing to others and encouraging other Christians themselves to actually be obedient to the Word of God themselves. Notice this in verse 5. He states at the end of verse 5, whereof ye had notice before. Whereof ye had notice before. The word notice there, it means to announce beforehand. It means to promise. In other words, Paul is saying, I thought it necessary to encourage the brethren that they would come and arrange beforehand to collect this of what you had before promised to give. In other words, what he's saying here is they had made a promise, and they need to follow through and fulfill the promise. They needed to follow through that it might truly be an actual blessing and not something that was resulting from the stinginess of covetousness, not something that was pressure-laden for them. And so Paul says that giving is going to be a blessing to others first. Secondly, giving is a blessing to ourselves. In verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. In verse 6, Paul uses an agricultural principle here to illustrate his point. He says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. He says the farmer that sows bountifully is going to reap a bountiful harvest. In Luke chapter 6, go over there, Luke chapter 6. In verse 38, Jesus says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Jesus says, you give, and it's going to be given unto you, but it's even more. It's pressed down. It's shaken together. It's running over. Shall men give unto your bosom? And the principle is the same way that you give, the same it's going to be returned back to you. One planting a little bit of seed is only going to receive a little harvest. One planting a lot of seed is going to receive a large harvest. And Paul draws a definite link between our giving and the return of blessing. God is always faithful that way. Bountifully. If you go back to our text, he says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That word bountifully in verse 6 is the same word as bounty in verse 5. That means a blessing. And so he says, to sow bountifully means to sow with blessing. To reap bountifully means to reap with blessing. And the application is, listen, God is no man's debtor. He is faithful to bless when we are faithful to obey. The issue is, are we going to trust Him and believe Him and obey Him? As we give to others, it will in due season be returned to us. On top of that, it's impossible to outgive God. To give abundantly is to receive an abundant harvest later on, but God is always faithful. Giving is like planting a seed. A harvest will return in proportion to the degree that we gave. That's what he's saying here. In verse 7, look at verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. This verse is often misapplied. And it's misapplied in this way when he says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Many times people think Paul's talking about how much a person would give. But that's not really what he's talking about here. He's not talking about how much we give. Rather, he's talking about how we give. Or the way that we give. He's already told them how much to give. He said it was in proportion to what they had. And so there's two principles that we can learn here. First of all, giving is everybody's responsibility. Do you notice he says every man according as he purposeth in his heart? Giving is everybody's responsibility. But then he's talking, but secondly, giving, not tithing, it's not talking about tithing here. That's above and beyond the tithes. Giving is a matter of the heart. It's a heart issue. It's a heart matter. He says, every man as he purposeth in his heart. The word purposeth means to bring forth by choice, to choose beforehand. Literally, what he's saying is, let each one do just as he had chosen before. They were ready a year ago. They were willing a year ago. Let each one do as he had chosen before and still desires to do. And so the principle here with giving in the New Testament is that giving above and beyond the tithe. Tithe is a matter of obedience. Amen? Giving is beyond that. Giving in the New Testament is that of giving from your own free will, from a right heart toward God. And the application here, for a believer to give grudgingly or by constraint is to miss the blessing that God has in store in giving. Giving really is a matter of the heart, and God loves a cheerful giver. It basically means a glad and willing giver. That's what God loves. Remember this, a cheerful heart is not a substitute for an obedient heart. Our hearts should be both faithful and cheerful, amen? Because we give the right gift with the right motive, a heart of love to the Lord. One commentator said this, a healthy church will beg to give, not be begged to give. And that's something that we can strive together for in regards to serving the Lord. All of us together for the work of Christ. Amen. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Do you notice how he is tying giving to good works, which we are created in Christ Jesus to perform? Amen. That it's the will of God for us. He's connecting giving as a connection to good works. But also note this. Note all the alls in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. All grace. Always having all sufficiency. All things. Every good work. Nothing is left out, in other words. And this is God's promise to those who will obey Him. He uses the word sufficiency. It refers to God's faithfulness and ability to supply the need. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye have always having all sufficiency in all things. It's God's faithfulness and God's ability to supply our need. But God meets our needs not simply for our enjoyment, but that we might be able to serve Him and bless others. And then he says to abound to every good work. And so he makes the connection here that giving is part of good works. And you remember how Paul said earlier that the Corinthians didn't lack in anything? They were abounding in all of these other graces. And he said, I want you to abound in this grace also. And so giving brings blessing to others. It meets their needs. It gives glory to God or blesses God. But giving also brings blessing to ourselves. We reap what we sow. And the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And the Lord is able to meet all of those needs. And then lastly, giving will bring glory to God. Look at verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Giving will bring glory to God. In verse 11, he says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgivings to God. How many times did Paul remind the Corinthians of their spiritual riches in Christ? Several times. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll read it to you, in verse 5, he says that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. He says you're enriched in Christ and you don't lack anything. In chapter 4 and verse 8 of 1 Corinthians, he says, now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. He's talking about the spiritual blessings of God, and he states before that, man has nothing of which to boast in because it all comes from God. And he says, you're full and you're rich in Christ. And of course, in our text here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 and verse 9, he says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that through His poverty ye might be rich. Several times Paul reminds the Corinthians of their spiritual riches in Christ. And the point is that God enriched them so that they could in turn now become a blessing to others and enrich others. It's the same for us. God enriches us we enrich others, God receives the thanksgiving and the glory in all of that. Look at verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Paul points out that the distributing of this offering would not only bring help to these saints, but it would bring glory to the Lord. And then in verse 13 and 14, he gives two reasons why the Jews receiving this offering would glorify God. In verse 13, he says, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. He says, here's a reason, because the givers showed obedience to God's word. Their liberal giving or offering helped these people out. It helped all men, and they in turn give glory to God for your obedience to the Lord. Then in verse 14, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. It shows their giving would produce further spiritual results. These brethren would come to further pray for them and long for God's grace upon them. In other words, Paul's saying only good is going to come from you. Number one, being consistent with what you said you were going to do, following through and giving the gift, and that generous offering is only going to produce good. A blessing to others, blessing to yourself, and glory to God. And then he concludes in verse 15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. He ends this section with a statement of praise to God that's appropriate for all that he had just said. Hey, the reason that you should give and that you can give is because God has given to you first. Unspeakable gift. Essentially, it means indescribable, and you know, of course, that the gift that God gives is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God gave His best in Jesus Christ. And the application of the example then should be obvious to us. God held nothing back. Jesus held nothing back, but by love He gave, and so should we. Something we can strive together for. All of us should have that same burden and responsibility to give as the Lord has blessed us in order to, in turn, bless the work of the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the principles that you give us in your word about sowing and reaping and seed time and harvest. And the promises are there. The question is, are we going to believe and trust and obey? And He that soweth sparingly is going to reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully is going to reap bountifully. God is always faithful in the return of blessing. And Lord, help us to be, as Paul said, cheerful givers. Lord, to strive together to bless others and be a blessing, because, Lord, we want to be obedient to you and we want to love you. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the giving of Black Road Baptist Church, that it would be multiplied for the work of the Lord, the furtherance of the gospel. And Lord, that we'd be able to see principles like this truly lived out in our life, that they're not just concepts, they're not just things we see on a page, but principles that we live by. And Lord, to be able to reap the reward and the blessing of being faithful and obedient to you. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness to us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.